Welcome everyone to ConjureCast, where we will discuss every Godzilla movie. I've been watching Godzilla movies my whole life and I love talking about them. I'm your Canadian kaiju, so let's get into it. In this episode, we are discussing Invasion of Astro Monster, which was theatrically released on December 19th, 1965. Directed by Ishiro Honda. Special effects by Eiji Tsuburaya. Written by Shinichi Sekizawa. Produced by Tomoyuki Tanaka. Starring Akira Takarada, Nick Adams, Kumi Mizuno, Jun Tazaki, Akira Kubo, Kaiku Sawai, Yoshio Tsuchiya. Plot. If you thought the last film had everything, oh man, this movie has everything. It didn't even need TV's Dan Cortez. We've got King Ghidorah, aka the Astro Monster, aka Monster Zero. We've got aliens from Jupiter. We've got astronauts. We've got the cure for cancer. We've got personal alarm inventor. We've got a non-approved romance. We've got spies. And we've got a double cross. That's right. Oh, and Godzilla and Rodan are in here too. Plus, one of the most controversial things Godzilla has ever done. The Shai victory dance. Showa era, 1954 to 1975. This is the sixth film in the Showa era series of films. This was a Japanese-American co-production. It was the second collaboration between Toho Co. Limited and United Productions of America, UPA. Development. Now, if you recall episode 3, if not, feel free to pause, give it a listen, head on back. That script had a bit of an international journey. This time around, it was the American producer Henry G. Saperstein himself was sent off in search of monster movies for distribution in North America. After meeting with Toho, Saperstein was now involved in his first co-production as he provided input throughout the production of Invasion of Astro Monster. His input began immediately, and I agree with some of his positions. First off, he found Shinichi Sekizawa's screenplays had become repetitive. The typical opening scene of a press conference or summit being led by the government, or scientists, or officials, or some combination, was becoming a crutch. Saperstein wanted the film to begin faster, and these conferences can happen later on. Another idea I also agree with was the inclusion of an American actor right from the beginning. Not merely added later in different versions of the film, although a cameo from Perry Mason was pretty cool. I mean Raymond Burr. It's not like Godzilla was asked to take the stand in a preliminary hearing or anything. Okay, I've shown my age enough. Yes, I used to watch Perry Mason. Let's move past it. Anyway, this led to Nick Adams being brought in to join the cast. By all accounts, Adams was a wonderful addition to the film. Saperstein described him as terrific, a real professional, very cooperative, always on time, ready with his lines, available, totally cooperative. He loved being there. For those who know me, a strong sense of professionalism scores big points with me. So I was very glad to learn this about Nick Adams, and I wanted to share it with you all. It's also important to mention that this film had one of the lower budgets of the previous films. I believe this film is where us fans started to see the cracks in the franchise. It always starts with cutting corners, even though everyone was clearly doing their best with what was provided. These cuts, of course, came right out of the special effects, regardless of special effects being the heart and soul of any monster movie. Suitmation special effects. Before we get into our Dude in a Suit update, let's actually begin with the special effects and the adjustments made due to the lower budget. Eiji Tsuburaya returns as the special effects director, and Teruyoshi Nakano was the assistant special effects director. Now, these adjustments include less elaborate model cities and the recycling of previous footage from previous films. In particular, footage of the monsters themselves, not city landscape B-roll. Naturally, the audience caught on. Of course we did. We expect the Flintstones and Bugs Bunny to recycle the same backgrounds, but not Toho recycling kaiju fight scenes. Honda himself knew this was a slippery slope. He stated, "We could fool the audience for a little while, but eventually they would know the trick and stop coming to see the shows. Then the studio would think that special effects films don't sell anymore. It's no wonder we cannot make anything good around that period. It is a sad story." That excerpt is from the book by Stephen Rifle, Japan's Favorite Mon Star, The Unauthorized Biography of the Big G. Okay, let's get into it now. Perhaps the most controversial thing that Godzilla has ever done. You might be asking, well, what about 1998? I would reply, no, that isn't the most controversial thing that Godzilla has ever done because that wasn't Godzilla. That was a mid-sized iguana that gave birth to raptors. The infamous Shai dance that Godzilla performs was a source of contention on set. First of all, let me explain exactly what that quote-unquote movement is. This dance was not created for Godzilla at all. It was an already existing dance known in Japan. Fujio Akatsuka created a very popular manga called Osomatsu-kun. The lead character of this manga would often perform that quote-unquote movement while screaming Shai. I'm sure I didn't match the original performance. Therefore, it was added by Tsuburaya after it was suggested by one of the stars, Yoshio Tsuchiya. Tsuburaya was very on board with continuing the anthropomorphizing of Godzilla, never mind that the following were against the idea. Haru Nakajima, the dude in the Godzilla suit, Sadamasa Arakawa, the effects cinematographer, Ishiro Honda, the actual director of the film. To further explain the director's feelings on this decision, here's an excerpt from the book Ishiro Honda, A Life in Film From Godzilla to Kurosawa, by Steve Rifle and Ed Godsuzuki. When they made Godzilla do that Shai thing, I knew how pissed my father, Ishiro Honda, was. He didn't say a word, but he was beyond angry. My father found it humiliating. I'm sure he was telling himself, we did not create Godzilla for that, it is not right. Ryuji Honda recalls his father's disapproval over the inclusion of Godzilla's infamous Shai victory dance. Audiences were also divided over the dance. The polite way of describing my opinion of the dance? Not a fan. Alright, now let's get into why we are all here. Suitmation. For this film, something new was created after all. A brand new suit for Godzilla himself, and it was produced by Taizu Toshimitsu. The following improvements were made. The kneecaps were removed. Okay, that sounds incredibly painful, but remember it's just a suit. Dorsal fins became less pointed. The eyes were enlarged and were built to move from left to right. King Ghidorah and Rodan suits were recycled from the previous film, but still got some alterations. King Ghidorah was repainted to a darker golden color, and the top of Rodan's wings were made flatter and thinner for easier use. Theatrical release. Invasion of Astro Monster was released in Japan on December 19, 1965 by Toho and brought in an estimated 3.8 million viewers in Japan. The film also performed very well in the United States. It grossed 3 million during its theatrical run. Now, with American versions of Godzilla movies, it is very common for the film to be heavily edited. However, this time around, both the Japanese and American versions were described as virtually identical. Themes and legacy. Was there a theme? Okay. I believe the theme to be a changing of the guard, but behind the scenes. Or to be blunt, reduce, reuse, recycle? Yeah, okay, that's harsh, I know. But looking back now, it's what stands out to me the most. Obviously, everything turns out just fine, as Godzilla is now 70 years young, he's not slowing down, he's even got an Oscar. The point remains, however, that there is a struggle between the creators and the distributors, to put it in simpler terms. This is not new for a franchise, and it is a struggle that continues to this day. I mean, look at Marvel, right? Highs, lows, it's all in there. Godzilla franchise is no different. Have no fear though, the Showa era ends strong, and in 9 movies, yes 9, the Heisei era will kick the door in with the return of Godzilla. Hope you all enjoyed this episode. I've been watching Godzilla movies my whole life and I love learning about how these movies came to be. I'm happy to share what I've learned and most importantly my fandom with you all. Please reach out to @KenjiraCast on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads. Let's talk Godzilla.
Hey everyone, Lee the Editor here. Thank you all so much for listening to this, the 6th episode of KenjiraCast. If you heard any music or sound effects that you'd like to use in your own projects, or simply want to support the original artists, you can find all the links to the various assets used in the paste bin available in the description. We'd still like to shout out the original artists and encourage you to visit their respective profiles at the websites mentioned. For music, we have the artist WHVLE at pixabay.com. For sound effects, we suggest you check out the profiles Spotty Leonard, Pan Zen, and Cabled _ Mess, all found at freesound.org. That's all for now. We'll see you all in episode 7, and spoiler alert, things are going to get a bit personal next time. Ooh. Bye-bye now.